Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
And welcome to episode 39 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me for another adventure I have...
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
Bryn Monroe.
And playing a character who's off-moping...
James Ross.
And what characters are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Sasha Rackett.
Hammond.
Sir Bertrand Lone Wolf McGuffin.
So, picking up where we left off.
Particularly harsh to be a lone wolf.
I know.
His dogs run off.
Too soon.
So, just to mention it, because it's been, what, like 10 episodes since I've even mentioned it, the party are investigating the simulacrum.
So, are we?
Some are doing time.
We're now embroiled in like this Parisian journalistic intrigue thing.
Hey, where you end up
is all... Arcs within arcs.
So, yeah, you've made it to Paris. I think at this point I'm going to have to, for the sake of like not having an intro that's 50 minutes long, you've made it to Paris.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
As part of your investigations.
Yep.
Have visited François Henri, apparently, of the Ordinateurs.
Quickly finding out he is a bit of a villain.
Well, apparently.
From
who knows?
Some people's perspective.
Certainly, Sasha's memory has been modified regarding the man. And
I thought we had a lovely chat. It was great.
And you made it to La Gazette Grande, which you were right to mock for a name because it's a failed newspaper. Not even failing, it's dead. It's properly dead. Much like most of the party were almost after you tried to chase an old fat man and failed.
He threw something on Sasha and then she fell, yes. Well, and then Bertie decided to jump on top of her.
The case remained. The elderly, overweight gentleman did manage to outmaneuver four highly trained mercenaries. Three highly trained mercenaries.
Yeah.
Zolf was there.
Four mercenaries. Yeah.
Technically, counts three quarters of a mercenary, I think, even.
Yeah.
That's so depressing. Cool. Nonetheless, you've managed to have a search briefly of the offices and found wheels within wheels. A few more details to add to your list that Brock, the generous patron who gave Sasha a suite at La Triomphe.
Supposedly.
A suite at La Triomphe in perpetuity. And you now have a few more details. And Sasha had just checked to see if she'd managed to open a safe.
And Bertie has wandered off, which has not been mentioned so far in the intro.
That's a very good point.
Because his dog ran off because
he tried to assassinate it.
Yeah.
But the case remains. It's actually addressing a good point that you should bring up, because what I'm rapidly finding, speaking to fans, is that a good chunk of our base are listening to us because we're good for people who've not played before. Apparently, we're really good for... I never really did an RPG, so I listened to you, and now I get it and quite like it. So, something that's going to come up when you're running games is sometimes a character will go off.
Sometimes they'll die.
Sometimes
like
they'll
die. Like I nearly died.
Sometimes they'll go off. When the character goes off rather than
three
dead.
3 points or so for when being dead.
Lydia is traumatised by this.
Multiple times.
When a character heads off as running the sessions, you end up in a bit of a scenario where do you split it? Like, people have remembered I split the party when it was crossing the channel. Bertie was on one side, the rest of the party on the boat. This time, who knows, but my point is, yes, you can split the party, so you're sort of splitting attention. Another way that people do is they play the sessions as normal. However, that player gets their own sort of one-off sessions, they're doing a sort of side adventure and come back. The other option is that character just leaves. In that kind of scenario, there's a couple of ways you're doing it. The way that I see most often is if a character properly leaves, the GM turns them into an NPC, so a non-player character for the ongoing period of the game. Maybe they could return if that player goes, actually, I really like playing that character. It was right that I left, but can I bring them back? They will have been doing things in that absence. Unless they explicitly go, I'm going to go to a hermitage and sit in a cave.
So that stand here and be frozen in time.
Until such time as my backup character has become boring.
Just going to climb into this carbonite here.
But as we'll see how this plays out, I know how it's playing out, no one else will know. But it's a good thing to be aware of is sometimes you will have players, as James is today, who, depending on what the party do, may be having to sit and just deal for a while.
I'll be helping okay. In an advisory capacity.
But the advice I have for the players is when that happens, you're going to have to take a backseat. Like, it's okay to take a backseat occasionally. You'll get focus eventually. But, yeah. So, picking up where we left off, Sasha has just attempted to open the safe.
Mm-hmm.
And has failed.
Oh no, and I got quite a high roll. I got about an 18.
You got about an 18. But the safe, the large safe, it has defeated Sasha. Mm. And when it comes to disabling devices, things like safes and so on, you can't just go, I redo it straight away. I'm gonna say that it takes a decent length of time. What you could do though is, we've discussed this before, take 10 or take 20, because unless you think that safe is trapped and by failing to disable it, it explodes or something, which of course is a possibility.
We've already learned that it's not, because we've just failed. Unless the next words out of your mouth is, and it explodes.
And so the bomb explodes. But my point is...
Safe? No, it wasn't.
I like it. It was good. Nonetheless, you failed. If you want to take a significant amount of time...
Yeah, I'm going
to
take 10. I mean, Hamid...
Take 20.
Hamid is reading all those letters. Like, yeah, it took you about 10 minutes to describe what
you
read.
That's a fair point.
The handwriting's terrible, so...
Taking 20, it's clear that whilst the rest of the building has been in a pretty poor condition, that safe is tight. Really well done, top of the line. It's a bit battered, so it's been there a while, but short of being magical, it's about as good as that safe could really have been. But taking 20, you are of a sufficient skill to finally get it open. But there will have been a bit of that moment where you realise you're losing face. You put a tool in, you pull it out, it's bent. So you put a different tool in, you give it a tweak. You've got the first two tumblers down. Then the third one resets the first two. It's very frustrating.
Having a lot of fun.
But nonetheless, eventually you manage to get the safe open. So you open the safe.
Yep.
Inside, there are three shelves. A top shelf, which has sort of loose sheaths of paper. A middle shelf, which appears to have some boxes, looks like folders, papers, and so on.
Right.
And then there is a bottom three drawers that are closed, latched, sort of like waterproof, airproof, but they're not like...
Important proof.
Maybe. You don't know. There's no locks. They could just be...
Glowy things will be inside.
So, There you go.
I am going to check for traps.
Oh, okay.
18.
There is a trap inside one of the drawers. You have wisely detected said trap.
Yes. What is this trap? Do I?
There is a trap. You have found a trigger.
Disable it.
Attempting to disable it, you realise you've set it off. You immediately spring back with your hands out and a thin, very thin. If you were to look at it sideways, it wouldn't even be there. Stiletto blade, about as long as my hand, slips out. And there's a little coating of something upon it that drips off the tip. It's blisteringly razoring sharp and it slides out from the side. It would have definitely nicked you if you weren't very on it.
Oh, this is a well good trap, guys. Look at this. Like, the mechanism is super slick. Ah, it almost got me. That is excellent craftsmanship.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. What? I mean, I'm impressed.
So, should I break it off or I've got a stick? So I can...
Yeah. Give me a hanky.
Okay, here you go.
Wipe the poison off and dangle the hanky at Hamid.
Yeah, but I hope it's not a contact poison.
Don't take it.
I put the hanky down on the floor and open the small drawers, which are now trapless.
Yes, inside the drawers you find cash! Specifically, loads of silver. Loads and loads of silver, full to the brim, but silver.
I mean, I'd move a couple of coins aside to see if there's any gold underneath.
There's no gold.
I mean, just a few months ago for Sasha, this would be a big haul, but she has been ruined by these days of like trunkfuls of gold from Q.
Yeah. Hey, that's bribe money. This is just newspaper money.
Chump change.
Yeah.
Printed media.
Of the three, she pulls them out. One hands one to Zolf, hands one to Hamid, and begins to pour the other one into her own purse.
No, we can't take that.
Yeah, that's not ours.
Yep, does not compute.
No, we didn't.
It's like you just started talking draconic.
We're not
impressive that your human mouths can do that thing. That is not helping me pass the situation.
Yeah, we we've not earned this.
This is just somebody's stealing.
Money. They just left it out, though.
In a safe.
That was locked.
With a deadly trap on it.
And hidden.
Is anyone going to come by?
No, I don't think that's... Go on, just leave it. Not like, we'll take
the
clues.
Whose money is this?
Did a job, get cash, get paid.
But that's not paying. Oh, actually, though, he did try to kill us, so...
Yeah, he threw a bag of heavy stuff. I don't know why there was a bag of bricks on the roof, but... He pushed it on me. Tried to kill me.
Tell you what.
Smash me into pulp.
You keep it.
My back still feels kind of weird. I've got a rash or something. Weird shaped rash.
No, that's a scar. Anyway, no, you keep it. Danger pay. You give something to Bertie if he, you know, will be fine.
All right. Sure, it takes your one and back. Yeah. Looks at you like you're insane.
It looks to be about 500 gold. Obviously,
more than I was expecting.
But split between a lot of silver, so it's an enormous amount of small change, making up a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
Shall I look through those documents quickly?
Oh yeah, there's this lot from the top, and then there's these rolls.
I look through the folders first. Folders, rather than the sheafs.
That's a really hard word to say.
Sheafs is hard, right? Yeah.
So it appears to be archived HR records. So it is, you know, names, next of kin. Addresses, things like that.
Is Amelie Rose on the list?
Amelie Rose is on the list.
So we have her address and a next of kin address.
A next of kin address is her mother. It's a suburban address, but it appears to be her mother's.
Do we have her address as well?
You have her address as well.
Two potential addresses to check.
What's the editor's address?
Oh, that's a good point. Is the editor's name in there?
His name is Auguste Lumiere. And he has an address registered to here.
Ah.
The Gazette.
Next of kin?
Next of kin, he has a brother, Louis Lumiere.
That's a silly name.
Cruel parents, isn't it? Like, if they call me Raquel Racket.
Any of the other names from our list anywhere in these documents?
There are.
What was the document on the top shelf?
The sheafs on the top shelf.
Stop saying that word!
It was the deeds to the property. It looks to be a record of...
If we're stealing things, are we going to steal the deed?
Do we own this place now? Like, you could get good rental on this.
No, not without a proper legal contract trail.
If only you had Bertie and his linguistic checks.
I've done this loads of times.
Yeah. I can't remember any previous role-playing campaign where we took buildings as spoils of combat encounters.
Failed combat encounters. Yeah. Just to spell that out.
He left.
It's true. None of us died.
We chased him off successfully.
In addition to the deeds for the property and so on, there was also a list of original benefactors, so people who donated money for the original setup of it. There's only about 20 people, something like that, and they're donating fairly small amounts. You do notice that he's given away 150% stake rather than 100%.
Sensible.
Yes. Yeah, really, but nonetheless, it's just continuing to paint a picture of a very sad failed startup that got crippled by circumstance.
Trying to disrupt the print industry with massive newspapers. Imagine, if you will, all the things you can do with newspaper, but bigger. Bigger stories.
Whale and chips.
Bigger hats.
Are there any of the names we've been looking for on the list of investors?
No. It is just a bunch of
people. I don't think this is a clue at all.
A load of non-plot relevant idiots.
How dare they print something that isn't directly relevant to my immediate situation?
This would never have happened in a computer game. He says, having recently played Morrowind, where they literally wrote 100 books, only 10 of which are...
Well, I was going to say, we haven't picked up about 15 boring audio logs yet.
Yes,
so.
That's true.
We could go and look for Emily Rose at her other address.
She seems to be tying this together. And
I mean, the guy who ran off after trying to hurt Sasha, like, lives here, apparently. Yeah, but we could look for his brother.
Well, we could get some dinner back at the hotel first, maybe a dialogue.
We should probably go back and see if Bertie's back there as well.
Yeah, we should look for Bertie.
Maybe Brutor's run back there too.
Yeah, it's true. Be the only
he knows where he gets fed.
Yeah.
And he's a dog who likes his comfort.
I do have plans this evening as well, so I should get back in time for those.
Ooh, what plans?
I arranged to meet the receptionist for dinner.
Yay. It's a date.
My memory just got wiped before that. I mean,
he's got a date.
Also, I'm not very good at listening or understanding people, so if he'd hinted, I wouldn't necessarily have understood that.
Very candid, Sasha.
She. Oh, your voice is messed up. Can we do it again?
Should we look for Bertie, or should we just assume he'll come back to hotel?
I don't know where he's going to be other than sulking round
the corner.
You're
his mate.
That's true. I mean,
is
it's not like him to
drinker?
Wander. Normally he says something before he wanders off. Right. I've never really seen him like that. He was very quiet. That's not like Bertie at all.
Yeah, I think we should go back to the hotel and then have a dire lobster and think about it.
We can have a chat. We've got everything we're going to get out of this place. And to be honest, from that letter you found, it looks like you thought we were probably just assassins.
Yeah, he said he seemed to think people would be coming for him.
So it's a case of mistaken identity. Unfortunately, we could have spoken and helped if he just not run away.
I even said, we just want to help.
Yeah, but that's what an assassin would say.
Is it?
A clever one, yeah.
I've got ice cream!
Now that would be an almost irresistible gag. What flavour? Mint. I'm in. I'm willing to risk it.
Mint and arsenic.
Yeah. Solve just went out of... broke the soft fourth wall there.
Get back in there.
Oops. Both doing it.
So, what's the plan?
Go back to the hotel?
Yeah.
We've had quite a long day and Sasha is still about 7 hit points down and would like to have a meal and a...
Oh, he's followed us from Dover.
So we'll say you head back to La Triomphe, presumably. And I think it'll be a good time to take a break there, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Cool.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Statement of Nathan Watts regarding an encounter on Old Fish Market Close, Edinburgh. Original statement. Hello? Hello? This archive is off limits. Is anyone there? Martin? Martin, is that you? I swear, if he's brought another dog in here, I am going to peel him. Still running. let's try this again.
The Magnus Archives, a weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quill, available now from iTunes and all good podcast providers. For more information, visit rustyquill.com.
And welcome back. So we'll say that you are, like I said, headed back to the Last Triumph. You see, still stood, still arms as if to hold a Brutor that's no longer there.
He's a memorial to our failure.
How poignant is that?
The mechanical man is just stood there beside the red carpet, perfectly stationary at the entrance.
I push him slightly. Just
he fails to move because he's really heavy. Like, really, really heavy.
Slightly unnerved by that, so don't ask him to wake up.
Are you going to deal with that?
I didn't ask for him.
Yeah, but people are going to move him. Maybe just turn him stand in a corner. Just get himself out of the way.
Give me a perception check, everyone.
Oh, everyone. Nat 20.
26 total.
18.
All of you notice that he's gotten a little bit dusty as the day's worn on, and someone's put clean me across his shoulder blades.
I'm really glad I critted on that.
It's important.
You can tell what kind of person
did it. Yeah. Left-handed, did it?
Yeah, no, but also on his butt, somebody has scrawled in a clue.
Here is everything you need to know.
Yes, I did it.
All right, mechanical man, go stand in that corner.
He starts stomping to the corner of the doorway, still outside, and then stands.
Good.
All right, there we go. Fair enough.
So, heading in. Immediately, one of your many butlers, under-butlers and sub-under-butlers, one of them comes up and heads over to Zolf. Telegram for you, sir. Hands it to Zolf and then bustles off again.
Why? Oh, I hate getting on post.
Maybe it's Bertie being
no,
like...
No, we wouldn't have. You would have sent it to Hammett, not me.
Oh, that's true.
Anyway, let's go upstairs and I'll open this up and hope it doesn't... It's not like...
I could check it for traps.
Well, no, because it will be packed by the post office, not...
Oh, right. Yeah. What, have you done anything to the post office?
No. Oh, okay. Not as far as I'm aware. There was that
someone
one...
telegrammed you Amtrak.
There was that one week
stop.
I lost. Yeah. Yeah. Just stop. Anyway, yeah, no, there was that one week I lost in Barcelona, but I don't think I did anything. Anyway, go upstairs.
Okay, upstairs.
Is there more food?
Everything is set, ready to go again.
Sasha Comfort Eats.
I get ready for my date. It takes me one round.
You look great.
Is there more than that of you choosing, or do you know exactly what the right...
I know.
Oh, okay.
I always know.
What is it?
It's a dinner suit.
All right.
Classic elegance. The finest material. Perfectly tailored.
And Zolf opens his telegram.
It just has. Report. Stop. Lady Starling. Stop. That's it.
Brilliant. Thought so. We're being chased up by the meritocracy. By...
Does
the head of the Secret Service? I can't remember what her job is.
Our employers?
Yep.
Yeah. No, but no, genuinely, Zolf was like...
Lady Starling,
what was she again?
Lady Starling was head of the meritocratic forces, the new head after the incident at Everest.
Oh, I mean, I was basically right.
Sasha looks up with a chicken leg in her mouth.
Starling, you know, the one who's given us this job. The big job.
We don't have much to report yet.
Yeah, not really. A lot
not
of it's
that's directly relevant.
It's just been my history catching up
just
with me.
Just delays arriving in Paris. Following
Sasha.
Threads there.
Right.
Sasha swallows. I got squashed. Tell her that.
That's not relevant. To her, not to you. Very
relevant to
solid.
Me. Well, turns back to her food and eats.
I'm the one who saved your life. Anyway, whatever. So, yeah, call over a servant, a busboy.
Yes.
Right, I need a telegram sent.
Oh, where?
To Whitehall?
Yeah, it will be Whitehall.
All right, cool. Care of Lady Starling. Nothing much yet. Stop. Delayed due to weather. Stop. Following up lead in Paris. Stop. Will report with more later. Stop.
Why do you keep stopping? Like, he's still writing.
No, that's how you do full stops.
Ah.
The butler, after the aside, sort of goes, okay, and then just packs it up.
Where's it going?
The front desk of Whitehall, care of Lady Starling. Immediate attention.
Yep. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Runs off.
Right. So that's that done. Hopefully that...
Maybe we should leave a note for Bertie here so that if he comes back, he knows that we're around.
Well, we should probably stay the night. If Hammett's got to go to this date, then probably best if we don't go out. Just the two of us.
My back's proper hurting.
Yeah, you should take a good night's rest. And we'll see if Bertie comes back and maybe we can have a chat.
What of this? She gestures at the piles of fruit, carcasses of animals, the truffles, the jellies,
the jelly truffles.
The jelly truffle meat carcasses. The carcasses of the giant jelly truffle of the mountains.
It's edible, one of the only ones.
Delicious.
Oh, man, that's horrible.
Which of these do you think is best for, like, broken bones? Medicinal, like?
Over a night? No, not much.
So everyone is resting that evening.
All right, yeah.
Well, I'm going on my date.
And Hamid's going on his date.
Good luck, Hamid. Not that you need it.
And,
good suit.
Please don't make this a massive waste of time.
So, we'll accelerate time. We'll say that Zolf and Sasha are resting. And Hamid is dating. Very important.
And just for the record, Zolf is looking very tired.
You've mentioned this before. I'm under the impression that you're... Obviously, you're having a date, like a genuine date, but also hoping for some more information.
Yes. I mean, so she works for Francois Henri, and I still want to know more about him. Mm-hmm. But this is the first reasonably attractive woman of appropriate size that Hammond has encountered on this adventure. So he'd also enjoy a lovely evening in her company.
I would say, then, give me two diplomacy roles. One is for the quality of the actual date. The other one is for the quality of the actual... sort of mining for information.
What's your date dice?
The red die is for the romance.
A little passion!
And the silver die is for the information.
Very well.
The red die is really hard to read.
Confusing signals, Brad.
I really like you, but not that much.
They're both diplomacy roles.
Yes.
So 21 and 20.
21. Good job.
Well done.
Well, to be fair, he has a bonus of 10, so he actually rolls
very,
really badly.
Very average for Hammond, but still sterling for anyone else.
Yeah.
If it wasn't already a lot of work, I would play my applause backwards to take it away from you. So, first, when it comes to the date, you have a good time. You have less in common than you'd have liked, but it becomes readily apparent that you are quite compatible, and you have a good enough time. It seems like there's not much of like a spark of passion or anything, but it's perfectly pleasant as an evening, and she's very appreciative of the company.
What's her name?
Her name?
We didn't get it yet.
Ooh, that's cold. That is.
No, we didn't get it in, you know, audio.
Game terms.
Yes. Right.
Her name's Madeline Villar.
Okay.
It's a name of no big family or anything like that. When it comes to the money for information, it becomes apparent why she's out of the company. It takes a while for her to, you know, open up and get past the small talk.
And yeah, I'm not, like, pushing hard for
it. No, of course. You've got hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
It comes out that everyone at L'Arc d'Ordinateur is behaving very peculiarly. Francois Henri is in his office all the time. He is seen entering and leaving. He's refused all appointments.
Mm.
He's answering correspondence perfectly well, but he's not meeting anyone. But he is seen entering and leaving daily. A few of the ordinatists have disappeared, mostly the higher up ones. The lower down ones are continuing, but they're being, it's gone from being quite a friendly and sociable atmosphere, not to hostile, just to cold.
Yeah.
People have stopped talking to her. People have stopped interacting with each other. It's becoming very, for lack of a better word, mechanical. It's becoming very, very cold as a place to work.
She's struggling
and is actually considering handing in her notice because she's had enough of it, and having worked here, she can basically pick any of the administrative positions she wants in Paris.
Yeah. I'm going to ask her, has she noticed any personality changes in any of the ordinators? Is that what's changed, or is it the atmosphere and the people that have left? Because what we learned from the letters at the newspaper was there were some really weird sudden personality changes. So
it's
I'm
both.
Wondering... Okay, so
it's both. So half of them are... There's been a bunch of sudden departures.
Yeah.
None of them were due to crises.
Yeah.
It was all someone suddenly accepting a job in...
So partly the same phenomenon.
Yes.
At least...
It certainly is ringing the same bells to Hamid. Is lots of sudden departures for... Like, from nowhere, with very little preparation. But most of them, interestingly, are always after really good news.
Mm.
So it's not like, oh, there's someone's really ill, you have to leave. It's more like, this position that you always wanted, it just opened up. But it is in Prague.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how you were really, really hoping for that house? That mansion's opened up, but it is really out in the sticks, so you're not going to be able to work in Paris. Like, loads of really good fortune, but... She starts laughing at herself a little bit. She's starting to find it... She says she finds it a bit creepy in that either people went cold and stopped being sociable and interacting with one another, or they just left. They weren't changed. Like, they didn't behave any differently, but suddenly an amazing opportunity opened up. So slowly it's just whittled away any kind of personality.
Yeah. I am interested and sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. We'll say that the date rolls on, and at the end of it... I won't RP it, but effectively she goes, look, I've had a great time. It's been really, really fun. But she's making it very clear it's not going to go anywhere. But she's had a nice time.
Yeah, I will thank her for a lovely evening.
Sure.
And pick up the bill in the restaurant.
It was a very stylish place, by the way.
Yeah.
It wasn't very expensive.
So.
It was a little bit modest, but in a really kind of
warm,
inviting way. It was kind of half cafe, half restaurant.
It was a place a local goes.
Yeah, exactly. So we will skip ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid there was no goodnight kiss. At best, a peck on the cheek.
Curses.
So presumably you head back to Latreille. In the lobby, walking past the mechanical man, still stood just beside the door, perfectly still, ready to hold Brutal but isn't there, you recognise a face in the lobby, quietly chatting, probably even attempting to chat up someone at the front desk. When you enter, the person behind the front desk sees you, rapt to attention, and kind of ushers the person away. They turn around, you are face to face with Oscar Wilde.
I roll my eyes heavily. I go up to him. What are you doing here?
How are you, Hamid? How's things? You all right?
Perfectly fine, thank you.
Listen, I was just wondering if I could have a chat with all of you. I mean, this lovely gentleman here gives a wink to the man behind the front desk who's completely stony-faced, definitely hasn't been flirting, definitely not, that's completely inappropriate. Has just been, I've just been chatting to him, and, well, I understand that you have the suite. I think you might want to hear what I've got to say in a bit of a private area, if you know what I mean.
I turn to the desk and go, do you have a conference room?
The person behind the front desk sort of hesitates, leans in. Wilde actually makes a point of stepping back so that he can't hear, although he's interested. The man behind the front desk sort of goes, do you mean...
No,
yes, we do. Okay.
Good. Excellent.
That's fine, if you just...
If you could prepare it for us, send a couple of bottles of wine and ask, and I say this a bit louder, mm-hmm. so that Wilde can overhear, ask just Mr. Smith and Miss Racketts to join myself and Mr. Wilde there.
Oh, certainly. He calls some people, they hustle off. Should we accelerate time to...
Well, what's the message that's been given to us?
And how late is this? Because Sasha turned
a butler, you know, is ringing your doorbell.
Yes.
There is someone waiting for you in the lobby with Mr. Hammond, and they are requesting your presence in the conference room, yourself and Miss Racket.
Who are they?
And Mr. Wilde.
Oh, good. This calls for champagne. I will go get Miss Racket, if you would let them know that we will be with them shortly.
Of course.
Gotta go.
The hot goes.
Poke Sasha. Wilde's turned up.
Oh, great. That's wonderful. I'll try and prepare some puns. If you say it's good to see you,
yep.
I'll be like, because it wasn't good when we were on the sea.
he's not going to get that.
We'll cut
that's a pun,
to...
That's a pun for us.
We will cut to the conference where the whole journey you have been talking like this, presumably.
Okay, I have got from the room a bucket of champagne mm-hmm. with ice and everything. Like
okay.
So I'm just carrying that down like a bucket.
Sure.
How about you say, like, here's a bucket of champagne,
right.
And I'll say, because you're quite whiny.
The door opens.
I mean, that's...
to Hamid and Wilde.
Champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends.
Ooh.
Sasha does not think of that.
That's solid, but unfortunately not possible right now.
So, the door is open.
It's also the title of a Fall Out Boy song.
You are up the entrance to the conference room. A bellhop's holding the door open for you.
Well, how about you say hello, and I'll be like, really low, because of what you wrote.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. Mr. Wilde, hello.
Mr. Smith.
And then look at Sasha.
Say...
He replies, not yet, but the night is young. So.
Right. I brought a gift.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll get the champagne bottle out and offer it to him.
Oh, thank you.
Drop it.
He doesn't catch it. He has no reflexes.
Pour out the ice.
Yep.
Create water in the bucket. Put it over his head.
Just stands there dripping. He takes it amazingly well despite the fact of how cold it was.
You've just done the ice bucket challenge with Oscar Wilde.
Right. Must have any donations that would get. I've exhumed and resurrected this celebrity.
Wilde lifts the buckets off his head quite gracefully.
Next time.
Places it down on the table.
Do it in reverse order. Bucket on the floor, you in the bucket.
Yeah, it's very good.
No, literally, I will kill you if you write another article like that again. I will straight up murder your smug little butt.
Fair enough. He clicks his fingers and is instantly dry. He then reaches, pulls off the sleeves, pulls back, and all of his clothes are completely pressed, dry, and he's good to go again.
Great war.
We'll say, I'm happy to just go, Wilde meets your eye, and finally, for the first time since you've ever met the guy, there is a slight rise. Just a little tightening in the eyes, dead-eyed to you. Clicks his fingers, dries himself again.
Stare at him dead-eyed as well and just tighten my grip on my trident.
you know what they say, Mr. Wilde? The only thing worse than not being talked about is being drowned in a bucket by an angry priest of Poseidon.
You've got something there. It might need a bit of work, but something. I understand what it's worth. It was very popular. And I suspect that...
popularity is always a measure of value, as we all know.
Of course.
As he says that, I just slowly raise my hand. Continue.
He makes dead eye with you and raises his and raises one eyebrow.
Raise the other hand.
Sasha's not really understanding what's going on, so has raised her hands.
Oscar Wilde casts
okay.
a spell.
Sure. Mm.
Do you intend to interrupt or interfere in any way?
How close is he to me? Have we got in quite close?
Yes.
Sweet. Give him a headbutt. But because I'm a dwarf in the solar plexus.
Give me the attack roll. There's no Bertie here to...
No.
Roll
a two. Roll a two. So unless his touch AC is really bad.
It's not that bad. He steps aside and stops whatever he was about to cast. Look, this is fun. But honestly, I'm actually here because I'm concerned. I ran into Sir Bertrand. Well, I say ran into. I saw Sir Bertrand. I say saw, I was following Sir Bertrand, and he appears to be making plans to leave Paris without you. I thought you'd want to know.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Wilde. That Where might actually be considerate of you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm nothing but considerate. It's just some people don't appreciate the help I give.
I laugh uproariously.
He's not headed to a place that's considerably higher directly above me, is he? Just wanted to check.
He kind of looks puzzled briefly. I don't get that one. Looks to Zolf and Hamid. I've...
Personal joke. Okay, don't worry about it.
Well, nonetheless, he's making his way to the station and he appears to be attempting to purchase some kind of ticket away from Paris. I don't know the specifics. I can only get so close.
Creepy. Real creepy.
Oh, he's not that bad once you get to know him. He's quite pleasant in his own way.
Did he have his dog with him?
No, actually. No.
Right.
Did you follow the dog?
No.
Oh. Anyway.
I'm beginning to like that, though.
I have to ask. What?
Thanks.
How are things going?
You
here,
can sod off now.
You sure? Yeah.
Hand up again.
Fine. He reaches down, picks up the champagne, and starts heading towards the door. If there is any service I can be rendering, I would say for what it's worth that the popularity that Sir Bertrand garnered from that article will no doubt prove quite useful for him in future. I'd be happy to offer the same kind of services in future.
I'm so happy for him.
Goodness, he leans to Hamid as he's heading out and leans to Hamid. Goodness knows that a hand name could do with a bit of positive press. And heads out.
Before he leaves, I tell him, thank you, Mr. Wilde, but I'm quite certain that none of us will require the services you provided our friend Bertie.
Does the conference room lead to the lobby? Is it just like a corridor?
It leads to a corridor. The corridor leads to the lobby.
Brilliant. I'm going to wait till he's just down at the end of the corridor. And I've still got line of sight. So sure. It's like 30 foot away.
You click your fingers. Immediately, not looking back, Oscar Wilde snaps his fingers. There is no effect from your spell. And he carries on walking out of the corridor.
Cocky son of a...
And he heads down into the foyer.
What, are you into him too?
What? Definitely not after everything he's done. Also, no, but... No. How could you find anyone that irritating attractive unless you're somebody like Bertie? Anyway, sorry, I'm getting...
I'm going to go to the train station and try to find Bertie. Are you guys going to come?
We probably should all go.
All right.
I mean, you don't have to.
Go, I'll make sure that I take the high ground.
I've got to say, I think that was an accident.
I head towards the train station.
We will cut ahead. You all head to the station. Parisian Central. It's getting on. It's late, but it's a metropolis. The city quite literally is never sleeping since a huge number of its inhabitants are mechanical and don't need sleep. Mm-hmm. So
Sasha keeps flowing in and out of crowds, like quite enjoying sort of becoming invisible and then popping up again, slightly surprising you guys.
You see there's actually a very disproportionately large amount of street entertainers because you're still in the upmarket area. Like, it's very touristy almost.
No.
But nonetheless, you make it to the central station and it's very easy
I listen for a loud English voice complaining.
It's very easy to trace where Bertie's been because half of the people are still referring to him as that man from the magazine. Half of them are just pointing to a mopey guy in full plate, which is still rare. And then half of them, I'm aware there's three halves here, are honestly just keeping an eye on everything that's going by and treating him as a punter. So there's lots of stories of someone who was just a man with too much money and not enough sense who wasn't giving us any money. Nonetheless, we'll cut ahead to... You make it to the station. It's quieter than it was, but it's still very busy. And you see, give me a perception check, all of you.
25,
23.
11. Hamid and Zolf. See, Sasha's impeded because of all of the taller people getting in her way, looking between people's legs. You see, about three platforms distant, there is final call being made on a train. And you see Bertie stepping on board.
I run towards it, shouting,
Bertie! Bertie!
Bertie makes a perception check. 15 minus
one. Oh, he sees. He hears. He knows.
He hears, but he doesn't turn around.
The train starts.
I try to run and at least catch Bertie's eye and give him a friendly wave. So running alongside the train,
running
as it,
the train
and then it accelerates away from me. Yeah.
Does
just
Bertie
a friendly
see
wave.
Hamid's wave?
No, he heard Hammett and did not turn around.
He's trying very hard not to look.
The train pulls out of Central Parisian Station with Bertie on it alone, who knows for how long. And I think we'll close the episode there.
Oh dear. Emotions.
Yeah.
Emotions.
Feelings. I wonder if Bertie's got to leave. He needs like 17 sessions to go. Bad! Yeah. That's what I'm feeling! Bad! Oh, of course!
Loss! Oh. Oh, the fact that the dog is gone means I feel an absence.
Is next him just in the street on his knees just going, what's happening to me? Yeah. And then he's feeling a new emotion.
And then slowly he holds up his finger and everything just swims back into perspective. Staring at
still go back to my special place.
So, we'll close it there. And we'll rejoin again next week. Goodness me, isn't this gone exciting and strange and different? But until then, bye guys.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the side quest of him going for the hat of Ultimate Legal.
It's a wig.
Yeah, the little judge's wig. And it was on Brutal all along. You just never knew. Then Brutal's the main villain.
That would be quite the... Yeah, and he's a legal mastermind.
Yeah, he gets awakened.
Yeah.
Because he tricks a lawyer into a contract that has to awaken him or
without
rage.
Any kind of ability.
He's so good. He's got ultimate legal knowledge.
Ultimate legal knowledge. And then he communicates all of it with claws and tapping. And gets
awakened, becomes a judge.
Yeah.
And then the last showdown is Bertie's in a courtroom for like murder and Brutal's there. And also for breaking his heart.
I know that my lawyer's telling me to point at the person who was the cause of all of these problems. I don't know how, but here we go. Anyway.
And this dog, indeed any dog.
Yeah.
To follow up a TV show to single female lawyer.
Single canine lawyer.
Single canine
jilted
judge.
Canine lawyer. No, jilted canine judge.
Yeah, jilted canine judge.
Nice.
Okay. I always know.
What is it?
It's a dinner suit.
All right.
Classic elegance, the finest material, perfectly tailored.
Black tie, white tie?
Black tie. It's not a truly formal occasion, it's just dinner.
Yeah.
God!
That's why you wear a dinner suit.
Given how much you were dressing up, you go both. At once.
Yeah, piano key tie, actually. Yeah.
Nothing says classic like a piano key tie. Gonna show you, pretty lady, a wonderful time. Later, I will stare deeply into your eyes while singing Christa Berg's Lady in Red.
Oh, thank God he didn't say he was going to be a bard next.
Oh. I veto you being a bard. I veto you.
Why?
Oh, I could be a bard, and I could be Ian Curtis, a bard with a tortured backstory. That'd be amazing. He could go into like a trance. It'd be brilliant.
Your bard
every time
really
he cries, he gets
like
magical. So people need to keep dumping him so that he has the emotion to come out with spells.
He generates, yeah.
He knows.
He hears, but he doesn't turn around.
The train starts. For international listeners, by the way, that means nothing. Yeah. Like, at all. It's a sitcom. I'll leave it at that.
It's not a sitcom.
Oh, come on, it's a sitcom.
It's only a sitcom if stylized Cockney misery is funny to you.
So it's a sitcom, so the same thing. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.